starting at verse 17. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And it's particularly those last two verses, that you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 8, or excuse me, Lord's Day 1, page 8 in the back of our Psalter hymnals. Page 8, the beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism. The most well-known question and answer of the Catechism. Number 1, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And that's as far as reading together in the Catechism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what does it mean to belong? What does it mean to belong, to have a place? As human beings, we have an innate desire to belong, to have a place where we are received, where we are welcomed, where we feel that we are safe. It's a part of normal human development to want a place where we feel that we are safe. As it's often said, there's no place like home. We love the idea of after we're traveling to come home to unpack our luggage, to sleep in our own beds, to sit in our own chairs, to use our own utensils. The comforts of the familiarity, it brings us a sense of belonging. I belong here. This is what I know. This is what I'm familiar with. In fact, true rest can only be found in the context of belonging. If you are out of place, if you feel like you don't belong, you are filled with a sense of anxiety, a fear of unrest, an uncertainty. But today we are going to see that belonging is a deeply a Christian concept, the comfort of belonging, the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ has purchased us so that we belong to him. And in this truth, in belonging to Jesus Christ, we find our lasting comfort. Our lasting comfort. If you were to ask most people where they find their comfort or where are they comfortable, most people will say we enjoy our comfortable chair or we have a comfort food. When they think of comfort, they think, oh, I come home at the end of a hard day's rest. I sit in my lazy boy. I put my feet up. I have a glass of wine, a piece of chocolate cake. That is comfort. But unfortunately, the comfort that our world aspires to or looks for is passing temporary comfort. But as Christians, we have the privilege of understanding a comfort that lasts, the only source of lasting comfort, which is belonging to Jesus Christ. We start then with this meaning. What does it mean to belong? What do I mean when I say that I belong? The Catechism begins with this answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer starts that I belong. That I belong, that I have a place where I have a residence, a family. A Christian can say, as the Catechism says, I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a family, and that family is God himself. I have God as my Father. In fact, a Father who is so powerful that he controls everything, the Catechism says. Watches over me so that not even a hair can fall from my head. That my Father, who dwells in heaven, controls everything, watches over everything, and holds all providence in his hand. But not only do we have God as our Father, we have Jesus as our brother. We read earlier from our passage in Corinthians, verse 17, that those who are united to Christ are one with Him. That if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with the Son. Not only do we have God as our Father, but we have Jesus as our brother. So a Christian can say that I have a family, and God is that family. But the comforts continue to roll. Because as 1 John 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we not only have fellowship with Christ, we have fellowship with one another. We have the added benefit of having a church in which we find brothers and sisters in Christ, that the family of the Christian church becomes my closest kin. Yet the blessings continue, because not only do we have the family of God as our Father and Jesus as our brother, we have the benefit of the Spirit. The Spirit of adoption who Christ has poured upon us. The Spirit who guarantees our reception into glory. But we don't even stop there. Because not only do we have God as our Father, Jesus as our brother, the Spirit of adoption dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit, we have a residence in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. A home and an inheritance that cannot be taken away. So to summarize this point so far, we have a family and we have a home. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's the benefit of belonging to Jesus Christ. We have God as our family, the church as our family, and heaven as our home, an inheritance. A seal, a sign has been placed upon us, the name of God impressed upon our very forehead. As sheep of His pasture, we belong to and are marked as one of Christ's sheep. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a distinguishing mark, which sets us apart. That old the concept of an animal being branded means that this one belongs to someone else. That they have an owner, that they are the possession of someone. Well, we can kind of think of the Holy Spirit as a brand pressed upon us. That the Holy Spirit poured upon us is a sign that is a testimony that we are purchased, that we belong, that Christ is our owner. But how do we come to be possessed? How do we come to receive these benefits of God as a family, heaven as our home? How do we get such rich blessings as this? By what means are we given this family and a home? Well, this belonging is not something which you and I deserve. It is not a belonging that we have at birth. Because by birth, we are children of Adam. We are children of sin. We are rebellious by nature in the household of Satan. So as verse 20 continues in our passage from 1 Corinthians, you were bought at a price. The glorious meaning of belonging means that we were bought at a price. That something was paid for you, and that something is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 19, you are ransomed by His precious blood. In order for us to receive the benefits and blessings of belonging, something needed to be given in order to purchase that right. And that purchase price is the death of Jesus Christ. We were purchased by Him, so that now we belong to Him. Catechism says, body and soul, in life and in death, we can say that we are His property. And since we are His property, belonging to Him fully and completely, we are His possession, and He is free to do with us as He wishes. When Christ died on the cross, He stood in the gap. He ransomed us, meaning that He satisfied the justice of God. He ransomed us from God's wrath. and set us free from Satan's snare. If we look at the incredible cost that it took for the incredible price that needed to be paid in order for us to receive the benefit of belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, how can we but marvel at the greatness of God's love? The fact that Jesus died for us while we were yet enemies, strangers, aliens, the fact that he was willing to pay a price of such significance, what greater price can a person give than his own life? What greater cost could there be to purchase our belonging? Now, living in society in which we live, we have a great pride in our possessions. We buy things that we want, and we purchase things that are special to us. In the United States, we take personal property very seriously. In our thinking, we have the right to do with the things that we own what we want to do. We are free to dispose of them or to use them in the way that we see fit. But when we bring this into the concept of our Christian faith, the fact that we belong, that we are the personal property of Jesus Christ, that starts to change the concept of what it means to have personal possessions. If I belong to Jesus Christ, if he purchased me, body and soul, in life and in death, that means that everything I have, every breath, every scent, every gift, every ability, every ounce of my strength has already been purchased. That we belong, everything we have, everything we already belong to him. Belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. This belonging is illustrated in Scripture in various ways. One of the illustrations is marriage. The way in which a wife belongs to her husband is the way in which we belong to Christ. We are his bride, and he takes a special care for us. We belong to him. We are called by his name. We are part of his family. The illustration in John chapter 10, Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. Just as the sheep belong to their shepherd, so we belong to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 9 says that God is the potter. We are the clay. We are objects in his hand, that he is free to mold and fashion and do with us as he pleases, because we are but clay that belong to him. Scripture also talks about in John that he is the vine, we are the branches, that any life we have flows to us through him. Scripture says we are slaves, we're servants, we're children, we are the heirs of Christ. That's what it means to belong to him. That's what it means that we have been purchased. Now, this belonging to him also comes with a change in action, doesn't it? Belonging to him means that we will act like we belong to him. Perhaps, children, you have heard stories or you've seen on the news of a wicked and rebellious child that tries to emancipate themselves, to liberate themselves from their parental oversight. I think it was a few years ago I saw that in the news. There was a child who took his parents to court in order to secure the freedom from any parental oversight. He wanted to be emancipated. He wanted to be independent of his parents. I mean, what kind of a wicked, rebellious child has such disrespect and disregard for his parental oversight that he wants to treat his parents as strangers, even though he belongs to them and was brought forth by them? But would we as Christians act as if we don't belong to Jesus Christ? That the rules of the household do not apply to us? Well, those who claim the name of Christ and then live like they are their own, who have really no regard for the authority of God and his word, are acting like that rebellious child. But question and answer one continues by saying, not only do we belong to Christ, but Christ by his Spirit within me changes me so that I become a child that delights in the fact that we belong. So that answer concludes, by the Spirit, we are made wholeheartedly ready and willing from now on to live for him. Since we belong to him, we begin to desire to live like we are members of his household. I want to act. I want to behave like a child of God because that is what I am. Belonging to Christ makes me able to obey and makes me desire to obey, because as his possession, I am set free to live as I ought. So being purchased, belonging to Christ, puts before us the greater purpose of living for Christ, living in Christ. But as we continue our sermon this afternoon, we see not only the meaning of what it means to belong, but also the comfort or the benefit, how this changes our worldview. Being purchased by Christ gives us access to a comfort that this world does not know, a comfort that puts before us the greater purpose and highest joy, so that we find meaning in this life and in the life to come, a comfort that enables us to endure great hardships with a hope of something greater that is to come. So we continue by looking at the comfort that we have of belonging. Now, it wasn't that many years ago that I was a high school student, and one of the things that I remember very clearly about high school is how there is an intense pressure to belong. Really, that's the heart of peer pressure, isn't it? Peer pressure is used to conform us so that we begin to act like others, because no one wants to be an outcast. No one wants to be strange. No one wants to be different. We want to fit in, right? But as Christians, we don't need to please others to fit in. We don't need to perform ridiculous feats because we already belong. Belonging for us as Christians is a gift, not something that needs to be purchased. In order to belong in high school, you have to do something, right? You have to be good at sports. You have to, you know, do this triathlons. You have to do this academic, these strange things to processes in order to find friends and belonging. But as Christians, Christ says, here's a gift. You belong. You don't have to do anything. You already belong. You already have a home, have a family, have a place that is your own. I mean, what comfort that is to us that Christ does not say, you can belong to me if you do this. You can have a home in heaven if you do A, B, and C. I will be your friend if you do this for me. But a Christian, the gift of belonging is just that, it's a gift. Where Christ purchases it. That's the comfort of belonging. We don't need to do anything. I mean, think about it. It's an identity that is freely given. Just for a minute, consider the flip side. Consider the opposite. Think about what it would mean if we didn't belong to Jesus Christ. If we did not belong to our Heavenly Father, we didn't have God as our family and heaven as our home. If we did not belong to Jesus Christ, we would belong to someone else. We would still be in our sins. We would be guilty before God. We would still be in Satan's power and control and grasp, in line for not only death, but eternal destruction. If we did not belong to Jesus Christ, we would be an enemy of God. We would still be slaves to our own sins, standing alone against all enemies. But the Christian can say with a heart of faith, I am not my own. Liberating words, isn't it? I mean, if you think about how our world defines liberty, freedom, they think freedom comes when there's no restraint. Freedom is if you don't belong to anyone. But the Christian says, in freedom, I belong to Christ. That's freedom. That I have a Heavenly Father who by His providence controls all things. I have a Heavenly Brother who purchased my life. I have a Heavenly Spirit who dwells within me, equipping me and sanctifying me and sealing me. That's freedom. Where the Christian can say, freedom, liberty is not found in casting off all restraint, but in belonging to a merciful master. That's true freedom. That you are no longer at the mercy of your own bad ideas, left to your own strength and wisdom. Rather, you belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that the ruler over all claims you as his own. That's true freedom. that Christ says, "You are mine." That Christ takes responsibility for us, that he takes responsibility for our well-being, that everything must necessarily work for the good of my salvation. Everything that happens to you in your life, good or ill, sickness or health, is just one step further on the path of bringing you closer to Christ in conformity to him, another step on the road that leads you to the eternal riches and blessings of heaven itself. That's what it means to belong to Jesus Christ, that I belong to him and he belongs to me, that he is my Lord and Savior. Well, where do people normally look for comfort in our world? Well, our world is constantly in the pursuit of comfort, but all those comforts fail. The uncertainty of the future, sickness, pain, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, hurricanes, famines, droughts, floods. Our world is constantly looking for comfort. But notice how the Catechism asks the question, what is your only comfort? We could say this another way, what is your only lasting comfort? Where do you find a peace and a rest that cannot be taken away? Because food goes stale, doesn't it? Those who are sick find no comfort. Even though there may be a feast before them, they have no benefit. The lazy boy may break down when the TV gets old. The pleasures of the flesh are temporary. In fact, almost every addiction is an attempt to find lasting comfort in the midst of pain. The idols of this world promise comfort, but they deliver only slavery. Because at death, when your life draws to an end, there is a distinction made between true and lasting comfort and false hope. When your body grows frail and time grows short, where will these comforts be? Will you find comfort in your riches, in your pleasures, in your house, in your vacations, in comfort foods or comfort movies? Will these be there when you are called to stand before the Lord of glory? You see, the fact is, the comforters of this world are cheap. They promise more than they can give. They are false forms of comfort and peace. Jesus Christ came to give us a comfort that is better and lasting. Our world sells comfort as relaxation. But true comfort is a strength, hope, cheer, rest, and refuge for the soul found in this life and in the life to come. As Christians, we have a deeper, better, lasting comfort, better than anything that is found in this passing world. Because if we think about what causes fear, isn't it death? What really enslaves, isn't it sin? But life and forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, in that we find lasting comfort. So, congregation of Christ, don't settle for comforters that are less than the full comfort and peace that are in Jesus Christ. So when it comes to our sins, the comforter says to us, "I have fully paid for them." 1 John 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. When it comes to the devil and his tyrannical rule, the comforter says, "I have set you free from his prison and chains. In fact, I put the devil under your feet." When it comes to sickness and pain, the comforter says, "I will wipe every tear from your eye. I will raise you up and give you a glorified body like my own." Such is the comforter that is ours. Not only setting us free from the cruel taskmaster, but also reconciling us to the Maker of all. And since I belong to Him, the Catechism says, He watches over me so that nothing can happen to me apart from His will. Indeed, nothing can snatch me from His hands. All things must work together for the good of my salvation. Every moment moves me closer to eternal blessings because the Comforter is mine and I am His. We are assured of eternal life. Not even death can take away this blessing of belonging. In the presence of death, my own death or the death of another, we have the comfort of belonging, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. To conclude, the comfort that comes as a result of belonging is the comfort of receiving blessings and rest, peace, that shalom, that land of rest, which God promises is ours through Jesus Christ. True and lasting comfort is able to say, it is well. It is well. I have the comfort of a family, of a home, of an inheritance, of belonging that nothing in this world can take away. Every other comforter that we find in this world, every other comfort that we can find can be lost. Every other joy can be taken away. But the rest that is ours in belonging to Jesus Christ is a peace and joy enjoyed now and in the life to come. The adoption of a child through the Spirit of Christ cannot be taken away, so that no one can snatch us from the hands of our good shepherd. As Jesus said, not one of my sheep will be lost. So as you go throughout this week, remember your source of true and lasting comfort. Remember that the comfort that is yours has been purchased. It's expensive. It's expensive comfort. Remember the meaning of comfort, that you have a family, not only this church, but God is your family. You belong to Him, you're His child. And you have a home in heaven that can't be lost, an inheritance which is waiting for you to be received one day. The comforts of this world are passing, but the comfort of belonging to a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, is a comfort that we'll enjoy for all eternity. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings of belonging and for the comfort of knowing that we belong to Christ, that He is ours and we are His. We do pray, O Lord, that the comfort of belonging to Christ would fill us with a peace, with a joy, with a happiness, with a contentment, so that whatever happens to the things of this world, the passing pleasures, we would not be shaken, because our comfort endures, because our Comforter ever lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.